Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host, and thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Also, if you'd like to be a show guest, have an update or a question, please send us an email at insightintohealing@gmail.com. And please check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, on Amazon. Well, tonight I have such an exciting show planned. On the air, I have Eric Alter. Eric Alter is a playwright, screenwriter, and poet. He has written over 140 plays, which have produced and performed all over the world. He is the founder of Apricot Sky Productions, a theater and film company based in Montclair, New Jersey. Recently, Eric has been working on a TV pilot that he hopes to be ready by the spring. In October, Eric has had a reading of one of his plays about the Holocaust in Montclair, New Jersey. Eric holds two master degrees, one in social work and the other in education. Eric has also been an adjunct professor at St. Peter's University in Jersey City. Eric, welcome to Insight into Healing, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor. It's a pleasure.
Yes, and I'm just so impressed by your background and your credentials of being a social worker, of also being a playwright and a poet and a screenwriter. How did that all come together?
Well, you know, I actually was going to school for social work back in 1996, and I got my master's from Fordham University in New York City, and I always had a knack for watching movies and enjoying, you know, stories and different things like that, and I was working in a school for kids with learning disabilities, and my aunt, who is very much into theater, my aunt's daughter, my cousin was an actress, and my aunt said to me one day, you know, it's very hard to get screenplays sold. You should consider writing plays. And I knew nothing about writing plays. I mean, I was almost 30 years old. I knew nothing about them. But she said, you know, they're easier to put on. You know, you can always change them. You can go back. You can put one on and, you know, do different things. So I started to research out some plays, learned sort of how the structure went, tried my hand at writing a couple of one-act plays. And then before you know it, I started writing like 8 or 9 plays, and I did an evening back in 2000 of one-act plays that I wrote the entire evening. It was 6 one-act plays. 5 of them were about 15 minutes each, 10 minutes each. And then the 6th one was about 45 minutes each. And, you know, a lot of my friends came to see them, and a lot of people really enjoyed them. And I think it gave me the confidence to start writing more. And with the social work background, you know, there's a variety of issues that you can always write about. So it kind of took off from there. And then since then, I've been published. My work's been produced throughout the world, you know, on a smaller scale. I've written over about 140 plays. And, you know, I just got into writing like that, you know, for the last 19 years. I've really been kind of trying to put a show or two on each year. And, you know, having that degree in social work and, you know, in education and giving me the, you know, the background and the wherewithal to write about, you know, very current issues and a lot of issues that, you know, kids deal with. I write a lot of kids' plays, not all, but I do write some kids' plays. So I think that's where it kind of started from.
Yes, and it's very incredible because I've actually acted in some of your plays many years back, and they were just so incredible. And what I really am impressed by is they have that social work element. As a social worker myself and an actress, I find that is so incredible. And I also find it's incredible for the audience. They're actually being entertained, but also they're getting education and educational tools and being able to observe and view difficult situations, difficult topics that they might not have been able to be exposed to. So you're really having so many different venues of what your plays are doing, and they're vessels of hope, of learning, of inspiration, and also of healing, which I find is so important.
Yeah, I think that's one of the themes in a lot of my work, and obviously I do remember when you acted for me, did a great job. You know, we've collaborated a couple of times, and you know, with the social work background, certainly you can relate to some of my plays that I've written, you know, where there's a therapist and there's a client, and you know, one of the themes that I write about is healing and, you know, redemption and forgiveness. And you know, I really would plug the social work degree because I feel as if it really gives you an opportunity as a human being just to have a lot of insight into other people and, you know, a lot of empathy and finding out what people are dealing with. And, you know, I've been very fortunate that I've been able to, you know, practice social work and practice education. And I've been able to sort of transport that to the stage and to the page. And, you know, it's a good feeling to be able to write about, you know, happy endings and things like that, although that doesn't always work out in real life. But, you know, you try to, you know, in your world of being the author, you try to create a believable world. I try to go for the happy ending as much as I can. But sometimes, you know, like life, it's hard to write that. And I think at the end of the day, the audience wants a satisfying, real ending. You know, you don't always have to sugarcoat and you don't always have to make it, you know, nice. As long as it's believable, I think that's the key.
Yes. And I think it's important to also be able to show the audience members that it's okay, though, too, that life can go on, healing can go on if there's not the typical happy ending. Because many of the clients that I see sometimes get more upset or triggered by television shows, plays, movies, because commercials, because that's really not what their life is about or has been depicted as. So they feel like an outsider. They feel like no one understands or that something's wrong with me and my family and my circle. So I think it's incredible to be able to put that on stage and let others know you're not alone and there can be happiness and healing found. It might not look like the typical one everyone believes it should be, but that's okay too. It can always be your own, but you can still move forward.
Right. And I mean, you know, you talk about healing and, you know, my friend has a great quote. He says, you know, the world keeps spinning. And, you know, it's true, you know, no matter what happens, you know, life does go on. I mean, some people have been obviously affected by grave tragedies and struggles and grief in their life, but you know, the world waits for nobody. And, you know, life can go on and it's all about, you know, the slow journey and we're all hit with problems and we're all hit with challenges. And, you know, I try to write about a lot of those things. You know, I do write some comedies, you know, just off the wall kind of fun stuff. But I would say I write more dramas than comedies. You know, just I think it's harder to write comedy, but you know, drama is usually very real. And, you know, a lot of my plays are based on some real life experiences, not necessarily with my life, but obviously people that I've known. You know, I wrote a play about somebody who was dying of cancer. And, you know, I had a friend of mine whose parent was dying of cancer. So I sort of entwined the story into that. So, you know, I try to put in the real world type of examples and things and try to show that, like you said, you know, life is not always smooth and you can necessarily go on and you can heal. And, you know, that healing may not be 100%, but, you know, hopefully over time, you know, you're able to, you know, get back to, you know, your life and moving on. Because listen, grief and struggles and obstacles are all part of life. I mean, I've yet to meet somebody that doesn't have any of those things, no matter, you know, how wealthy you are, how successful you are. So we all struggle with that.
Yes, definitely. And really, you know, I find it must be, I'm wondering, as a writer for you, as a screenplay, and as also the plays, to write this, if it is also therapeutic but difficult to write, because I remember one of the plays I did for you, the script of 10 Minutes Early, was the most powerful script of a young woman who had passed away. And it was really basically looking back on what happened, and it opens up as it's, I played the lead character, I played her, my wake, my funeral, and you see a picture there. And I think it was so surreal as an actress to be on stage. For the audience members that I knew that were there were really taken back, and also the reality and mortality was very difficult and sort of disturbing at times, but real life. How was it for you writing these type of plays and scripts?
Well, that play in particular, I remember very well. Yes, you were the lead. You did a great job. That was 10 Minutes Early, and it was the story of a guy who, you know, he was actually late to pick up his date, and she was actually killed, and he felt a lot of guilt for that. And I remember that play very well. And, there are some plays that are actually very difficult to write because although they may be based on, you know, fictitious non-personal examples, they're still based in real life. You know, sometimes I'll read an article in the paper and I'll, you know, try to put myself in the shoes of the grieving mother or, you know, the grieving father or the grieving child. I've written a lot of plays about death, ironically. And that the one you did was a play about death. Sometimes it's very cathartic in to write some of these things because, you know, sometimes I'm able to control a more happier ending, but sometimes it's very difficult to write these things. And you know, after they're put on, I've had people come up to me, you know, who are in the audience and say, you know, that play really moved me. I've written some plays about Alzheimer's disease. And I remember one young woman in the audience came up to me afterwards and says, you know, you had me crying at that play. My father has Alzheimer's. So it's very, you know, it stretches along a great many audience members. And it's interesting what resonates with people, because I think as a writer, you try to touch on, like I said, real world examples of writing. And you know, everybody, you know, has been affected by somebody with Alzheimer's, you know, maybe not directly, but maybe you knew a friend or you had a cousin or you this or you that. So I think it resonates with us, you know, greatly. And then one of the things I wrote about a lot, I don't do many of them anymore, but was September 11th. And I did a charity event, an evening of one act plays, all having to do with September 11th for the 10-year anniversary, and we donated the money to the September 11th Museum and Memorial. And that was a very, very powerful night of theater. We did a night of one acts, and I remember a lot of people came to that. It was very difficult. I knew some people that had passed away. Nobody that I knew, my next-door neighbor growing up had passed away, but nobody that I really, you know, was related to or anything like that. But I, you know, living in this area, you know, the tri-state area, you know, we were greatly affected by that day. And I probably written about 10 or 11 plays about that. So those are real world things. And as a writer, sometimes, you know, you can't change the events of September 11th, no matter how you write it, but you can show how people come together and, you know, are able to, I don't know if I want to say share in their grief, but in a way share in their grief and you know, try to get on with their lives, but never forgetting what happened, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes, because I think it's important to be able to be around others to support you and to support them in a very tough time of grief and pain. And it's, you know, people don't have to go through it alone. It helps when you have others around you supporting you and being there as the community for you, which I find is very, very important. What type of topics do you see moving forward you would like to write on or are writing on?
So one of the things that I've been working on, I have a play that I've written about the Holocaust, which is ironic. I wrote it a very long time ago. I wrote it back in, I think, 2005, and I kind of just shelved it. You know, sometimes I'll write things and they don't get put on. There was a reading of this play I did in about October of last year in Montclair, and I have a director attached to it who might be interested in putting it on. And so I'd like to get that full-length play up. And then lately I've been sort of, I don't want to say retiring from plays because I don't think that will ever happen, but I've been sort of writing some plays less and less, and I've been focusing on a television pilot that I'm writing that takes place in a school. And I've been really kind of concentrating my efforts on that because I think that's something that, you know, obviously every young person can relate to, but also, you know, people like ourselves and even older than us, you know, they remember what it was like to be in school. They remember, you know, what school was like. And I mean, for most people, you know, school was an odd time. You know, you were in the middle of adolescence. You were confused and growing up and, you know, you were just kind of finding your way. So I've been really kind of honing in on this television pilot about, you know, it's sort of a drama slash comedy with some serious elements to it. And one of the reasons I really like writing about a school and this TV show is because you can really have endless amounts of things to write about. I mean, you can write about grief. You can write about, you know, violence. You can write about, you know, school shootings. You can write about relationships. You know, all those things kind of fit into it. So I felt it was a really good vehicle for me to focus on because I do have experience working in a school. You know, I teach grad school as well. And, you know, you just remember, and I've lived through, obviously, going to school, so you kind of remember what it was like to be an awkward seventh grader or, you know, what it was like to get your license, you know, and be in high school and have your first crush and, you know, your first relationship and all those things. So it's really been a very good vehicle for me to try to develop because there's just endless amounts of, you know, writing that can be done to it.
Yes, yes. And I think it's such also an important time, too, with everything going on that we see in schools, with the school shootings and the bullying. How has that impacted your writing when there's so, you know, between the bullying, the shaming, the social media stalking, and a lot of unfortunate suicides and suicide attempts from all of this horrific behavior?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I was very fortunate to write a play about a one-act play about bullying, and I sold it to a magazine. It's a young children's magazine that does children's plays called Plays, the drama magazine for young people out of Boston. Great, great, great organization, great magazine. And I'm friendly with the editor after 20 years, you know, sending her work. And she called me about, must have been a couple of years ago, and said, you know, there's a textbook that you're interested in buying your play. I wrote a play called The Bully of Barksdale Street. And it takes place, you know, in a school, and it's all about bullying. And this textbook company wanted to buy my play and put it in one of their books as part of a, you know, reading series slash lesson on bullying. So that was really a highlight for me because I felt that in some way, you know, I could contribute to, you know, the lessening of bullying that goes around. But I have not really tackled, I've written one play, it's called First Day, about a school shooting. And that's something that I do want to tackle more because I think it's so relevant in today's day and age. I mean, all you got to do is turn on the news and what happened, you know, in Florida and Parkland, and I have friends that actually live there. I listened to a friend of mine when I went to Florida over Christmas break, fraternity brother of mine, whose kids actually went to Parkland. They didn't go to the high school, but they went to the school right next door. And I remember talking to him and him telling me, you know, my kids were in the elementary school and nobody knew what was going on. And as a parent, it was such a harrowing experience. And, you know, I could only imagine. And for me, you know, the tragedy is one thing, and that's horrible and terrible, and it's just the grief that goes on. But I also like to try to figure out, you know, what pushes somebody to do something like this. You know, we can't always blame mental illness, although it's certainly a part of it. But, you know, were people bullied? Were people ridiculed? Were people hurt? You know, what pushes somebody to do this, and what can we do to prevent this kind of thing from happening again, because it seems like it's just happening too many times. So as a writer, you try to find those answers and you try to really, you know, figure out ways in which maybe your play can resonate with somebody who reads it. And just a quick story about suicide. I wrote a play called Too Old for Archie, and it's the story of a guy who's actually a young high school student who's going, he's actually planning on killing himself, and he goes to this bridge, and he's just about ready to kind of do it, and he meets another kid there, and they become engaged in a conversation, and the other kid basically says, you know, why would you want to do that, and this, that, and the other thing, and it turns out the other kid was actually going to kill himself that day too, and they kind of found some solace in one another, and they both don't do it, and they become friends, and the reason I'm telling you the story is because somebody reached out to the editor of Plays magazine, because I had sold this magazine to Plays, and they posted on Facebook saying, you know, Eric Alter's play Too Old for Archie was just amazing. It was great. And I just always remembered that, because maybe that, you know, somebody read that and they decided a different path. So those kinds of things, I think,
yes,
as a writer and having people read it, it is very powerful. So.
Yes. And, you know, as you were speaking, it brought up another point why I'm also so, you know, interested in what you do as a playwright and also as a social worker, because I find, too, as a social worker and as an actress, there's a lot of plays, there's a lot of film scripts out there tackling very tough social justice issues, heroin epidemic, assisted suicide, bullying, all of that, domestic violence. And I think that's incredible. But I think as if what you're showing, as you were saying, the different facets of what you were writing about and, you know, about the school shootings and all of that, I think it's also you have to take on a different responsibility as so your viewers, your listeners, your audience are also getting the education, because if you do not have the social work background or the training in the mental health system, you have to be wary of not what you're promoting or what you are saying in these different plays, because I find so many times if people are not do not have a degree in this, and they have the best intentions to provide these plays and provide support, but you just want to make sure you're really showing all sides of it. To, you know, was there a bullying? What, is it a severe mental illness? Was it something else? I think it's important to make sure people have that open arena to put all different dialogues on the table.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And, I mean, you know, just going back to the school shootings for a minute, I mean, certainly I'm no expert, but, you know, with someone with a mental health background and being in the field like yourself, you know, it's very easy after a tragedy happens to just say, oh, you know, that person was crazy and, you know, that's why they did it. But like I said before, you know, I think it's very important as professionals and educators and social workers and teachers and parents and friends to, you know, try to dissect the reasons that people do the things they do. And, you know, it's like I said, it's not always mental illness. You know, sometimes people have just been bullied to a point of, you know, they want to get back at people. And, you know, I read an article the other day and it broke my heart of a young girl who that, you know, was bullied so much that she decided to hang herself, you know, in her garage. And, you know, these kids were tormenting her. And I always, you know, it just amazes me because it's just such a sad thing. And I wonder, you know, how do we go about it as professionals and educators and therapists and things like that in preventing this from happening? And, you know, for you and I, you know, we're in a little bit of a different age in the sense that, you know, when we were kids, social media really wasn't around. It was more, you know, oh, did you hear? You know, you wrote notes in class, mm-hmm, as opposed to texting, you know. But nowadays with social media and everything's out there and people posting on things, it's a very, very difficult time and a difficult place for kids, because I feel that the bullying has become so much easier. You know, you can take a picture of somebody, you can sneak a picture of somebody, you can post it online, you can, you know, you have Instagram and Snapchat and all these things that some of them aren't even really aware how they work. But the social media piece is very, very difficult for young kids today. It's just very bad at times. Can be used for good, but it's also, you know. Yeah.
I feel that, you know, people have access to you at any time. People can, you know, either it's your phone, it's your social media, it's the computer. I think you can, you know, nowadays people can be messaged. They can, you know, be tagged in photos. I think it's gotten to, yes, bullying has always been a problem and a very difficult thing. But I think now due to social media, it has taken it up 100% different levels to a stage where it's really, I mean, there's pictures out there. There's comments on social media where you can't take them down. I mean, I think there's a lot of shaming and humiliating things where, yes, it's humiliating when people are talking about you in the hallways at school, but to have your stuff on social media so the whole world can see it, people you don't even know, it takes it to a different level. And I don't think any of us were prepared. How do you prepare for that, that these are the type of things that this social media could lead to?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great, great point, and it's, you know, it's so well taken. You know, it's like you said, you know, things spread like wildfire now with the social media and certainly with the shaming, like you said, and now they have these groups and, you know, and I feel it's just such a tough time to be a kid. And I think that's what's always gravitated me more towards writing for the younger population is, you know, hey, I remember what it was like to be in school. You know, I wasn't really bullied or anything like that, although I'm sure I can remember a couple of times where I might have been. But, you know, I do remember kids who were bullied. I do remember kids that stood out. I do remember kids that were, you know, awkward and shy and all those things. And I'm sure I was shy as well when it came to certain things. So I remember that time. And I, you know, I always try to wish I could tell people, you know, that, you know, you grow up, it doesn't last forever. And you know, you try to find your way. And high school especially is a very, very, you know, elementary school, grade school, and high school can be very tough. But, you know, it gets better. You know, it does get better. You get on, you graduate from high school, you kind of find your way sometimes. And you find that people, you know, I find that when you get to be an adult, you know, in your 30s and 40s, whatever, you look back on those times and you say, you know, what was I doing? Why was I making fun of that kid for wearing those sneakers? Or why was I being not nice to that girl for this, that, the other thing? And you know, there's a certain amount of shame that you feel. So, you know, if I could give messages to younger people out there, you know, talk to friends, talk to counselors, talk to teachers, talk to your parents, you know, talk to your cousins and relatives, and just know that you have a support system there, and things usually do get better, you know, one way or the other.
Thank you. We're about at the end of the show. How can my listeners follow you or find out any updates or see any of your work? Is there any websites or links they can look at?
Sure. They can Google Apricot Sky Productions, or they can go on Facebook and type in Apricot Sky Productions, or they can go to my website, which is www.apricotskyproductions.com. And, you know, we try to do one or two shows a year. And anybody can find my email on those links. And if anybody has any comments or ideas, they can, you know, email me. And I also, a lot of my work has been sold to Plays Magazine, which is out of Boston area. And I think it's www.playsmagazine.org or .com. I'm not sure which one.
Wonderful. Well, Eric, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was just so incredible, and I cannot wait to have any updates and see what else you're going to be doing.
Thanks for having me, and I appreciate it.
Yes, anytime. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you for all your support. Again, if you have any questions or show ideas or you'd like to be a guest, please send us an email at insightintohealing@gmail.com. Everyone, have a good night, and God bless.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer.